Hello.
Hey Jake.
What's up, Josh?
Nothing much. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. That's the question for today. All right, see you later. No.
It's been real.
My question today is about competition. Obviously it's been on my mind. I've got mine coming up here in about a little over a month. And I remember you mentioning you've done a couple of competitions. So just wanted to hear, how did your first one go? What was the experience like? How'd you handle nerves? And then what lessons did you learn from it? That was like five questions, but tell me everything about your first comp.
Gotcha. Yeah. So I've done two competitions. My first one, I was a blue belt. My second one, I was a purple belt. And I honestly don't remember too much from my first one. It was, a while ago. All I remember really is I felt like I was much better than the guy, and I had like a couple really strong attacks early. And then I just like completely gassed out, and the dude ended up like passing my guard, and I just like sat in side control, and he went for like 12 baseball bat chokes, and I just like let him get like pretty deep on the baseball bat choke because I was just like so tired, and then I'd be like, all right, now I should probably like defend it, and then I would get out of it, and then he would go back again to another baseball choke, and I would just let him do it for a little bit so I could recover, and then I'd get out of it. And I don't remember like how it ended or anything, but like that is pretty much what I remember. It was like for the first like minute and a half, I was just like throwing everything at him, and it just didn't stick. And then it was just like, I don't know, whatever the time was, like 4 minutes of me just defending baseball bat chokes. And then the next one, I was a purple belt, and both of these are in the gi, just to clarify. And it was back when I absolutely sucked at jiu-jitsu, like pre actually no the second one I was watching like Danaher instructionals, and this is actually kind of funny. His Danaher's Kimura instructional had just come out, and I think this could be a good takeaway, I guess, because I was really on a Kimura hype. Like I was just like trying to Kimura everyone in the gym. And I kind of took that same experimental mentality to competition. And my first match, I tried like a super janky like collar drag kind of thing. And terrible. Dude ended up on top of me and like trying to pass the side control. And I recovered from side control right into a triangle, and choked the guy. And like it was like a 15-second match or like 20-second match or something like that. So I was like, well, that was cool. But like literally those 20 seconds, I was already like tired. So like adrenaline dump is a real thing. And it's something that I didn't deal with very well, because my competitions were like a year and a half or like 2 years apart, if that makes sense. So like the first time I competed was a blue belt, second time I competed was like a year and a half, 2 years later as a purple belt. And yeah, so both times I felt the full impact of that adrenaline dump. And then my second match was actually against a girl at our school's boyfriend. That makes sense. So he came into town to visit her and then signed up for this competition. So he was training with us the week before, and I got to like roll with him in the gym. And again, I'm just trying to Kimura everyone like all week. Like it didn't even like occur to me like, hey, I'm competing against this guy. I probably shouldn't like do what I'm working on, or at the same time, like at least probably don't do Kimuras in the competition. Because you're not very good at them, and you should probably do something that you're like relatively decent at as opposed to like what you're working on. But regardless, I tried to Kimura this guy all week, and like I had some success with it in the gym. But for the most part, like it wasn't all that amazing. Like I wouldn't put all my eggs in that basket if I was going to do it again, if that makes sense. But at the same time, like I didn't feel like he could do anything to me. Like all week we rolled, and I was like completely fine. Like, I wasn't even like worried that he was ever going to submit me. It was like, let me just try this Kimura. And if it doesn't work, I'll just get out of side control and I'll try it again. And literally that was our whole match in the competition, was like our roles during the week. It was me trying a Kimura and it didn't work. He passed my guard. I would recover guard. I would say, I'm going to try it again. I would try another Kimura. And then he passed my guard and then I would recover. And we did that, I think, like 4 or 5 times. I don't remember like the final score or anything, but from what I recall, I had like 2 or 3 advantages, meaning like the Kimuras came like somewhat close to working, but like not really. And then he had like 12 points or something like that. So it was like 12-0. And like, I never felt in danger the whole time. I felt like I was like way better than him, but I just got smoked in competition, you know? So yeah, I just really didn't like, competition was never really my thing. Like, I mean, I just, from my competition schedule, you can kind of tell it wasn't like a driving force. Like, I competed twice and they were like 2 years apart. So, yeah, not something I put a lot of thought into, and my game plan reflected that. So, yeah, not sure if that's helpful to you at all, but, yeah, I'll let you respond.
Yeah. Wow. So, what made you want to compete? Did someone, like your coach talk you into it, or how'd you get into it?
Yeah, it was just all pretty much my coach, like pushing people to compete. And, I was just like, sure, I'll compete kind of thing. But yeah, didn't put much thought into it.
Yeah.
And there was like a really negative stigma behind, pulling guard. So like basically he like taught us one takedown, and I tried that takedown and I was 0-for-3 and ended up on bottom anyway. So yeah, just lost some style points trying like super lame takedown as opposed to just pulling guard and working from there. But yeah, that's the reason behind me competing.
Gotcha. And then after, so yeah, it sounds like you didn't take it like super seriously either. Did you like train for it specifically or kind of just show up to class for them?
Well, like leading up to the competition, the instructor tries to, because it wasn't just me competing, there was multiple people competing. And the instructor tries to cater class towards the competition. So like I personally think this is kind of silly, like looking back on it, like a huge majority of the time was spent practicing that one takedown. And like I said, I was 0-for-3 in it anyway. And we spent like 3 weeks leading up to this, like working on this takedown. So, I don't know if it was just cause I suck or no, it's just like not the best thing to put your eggs in that basket. But regardless, it was like, okay, in class, we're working this takedown. And in my personal like jujitsu, I'm trying to do a Kimura. So that was kind of basically what the whole match was, is me trying a pretty lame takedown, didn't work. And then me just trying a Kimura because that was like fresh in my mind.
Yeah, that's so yeah. Funny. And then how about takeaways? Like, yeah, what were the lessons for you from those experiences?
Well, like I would say like in the moment, I don't think I was like mature enough, I guess, to like take anything away from it. Like what I took away from it was, yeah, I'm actually like okay, because I never felt like I was in danger. Like I felt like I was way better at jiu-jitsu than this person. And my goal wasn't necessarily to like get super good at competing or anything. My goal was just to get good at jiu-jitsu, which I felt like I was way better than the person at that. So, and at the time, looking back, I just sucked at jiu-jitsu. So, yeah, like at the time, I didn't really take much away from it. I think I was just too wrapped up in my own little world. But now, I guess, like a good takeaway, now that I'm kind of going down the more like strategic approach, would be that, you know, there's overlap, but there's also a difference between being good at jiu-jitsu and being good at winning, you know, like they kind of go hand in hand, but at the same time, like, you can be good at winning and not that good at jiu-jitsu. And a lot of really tough people have gotten by for a long time with that strategy and have won a lot of championships and have a lot of credentials based on being good at winning. And that's a real thing for sure.
Dang, yeah, that's interesting. Adrenaline dump. What does it feel like? I don't think I've ever experienced that before. Hey, one quick note before we jump in. You know, on the show, we always talk about how we should train with intention and we should show up to class with a goal in mind of something that we're working on. But one challenge with that is that we don't really have a lot of control over what's being taught when you walk into class. So for example, last week I could go to a class and they could be teaching details to finish an armbar or how to do a Kimura. But we're all at different stages in our journey. And for me as a beginner, I know right now I should be prioritizing defense. So like pin escapes, guard retention. And so that's why we're really excited to announce that we actually landed our dream sponsor for this podcast, and it's Submeta. If you haven't heard of Submeta, it's a learning platform for jiu-jitsu, and I've actually been using it for a couple months now, and I really like how easy it is to use. It's organized and it's structured in a way to help us build a well-rounded game and start to take our learning into our own hands. So there's dozens of courses on there. They're organized by skill level, or you can deep dive into specific topics like back takes, leg locks, open guard for gi, for no gi. Right now, I'm partway through the foundations course, and I really like how there's bite-sized videos. They're like 5 minutes, 10 minutes long with little quizzes in between them to help me reinforce my learning. The platform is only $25 a month. And when you use the code BJJHELP, you get $16 off your first month. So it'll only cost you $9 if you want to try it out for a month. So that's Submeta, SubMeta.io. And the code is BJJHELP to get $16 off your first month. Go ahead and check it out. The link is in the description and let us know how it goes.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. Like I said, it wasn't a long match. Like my first match was not long. And I felt like I got the wind knocked out of me almost. So like it was like really hard to breathe. And my second match, because it was so short, they did it like 3-4 minutes after. Like I had a very short break in between matches and it was just like right away. And I remember, like, I don't know if you've felt this. I know you ran a lot, so you probably did. But like, if you like do hard sprints or something, and like when you breathe, it feels almost like hollow, if that makes sense. Like even for like the next like hour or two after you do those hard sprints, like when you breathe, it's like kind of hollow and you kind of want to cough like every time you breathe. That's how I felt after like my 30-second match, you know?
Dang.
So yeah, it just felt like I had just done like really hard sprints and it was like almost difficult for me to breathe a bit. And it's crazy.
Wow. Do you remember being pretty nervous leading up to the match? And like, do you remember you're like warming up and like thinking about like, oh shoot, I'm about to compete?
You know, I wasn't nervous going into the day. Like I was like, you know, whatever. And like, especially because I knew there was only like two other people in my division and one of them I had been rolling with the whole week. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to beat this dude. If I ever roll with him, if I ever go against him, it's just the other guy. And then I triangled that other guy in like 20 seconds or whatever. So I wasn't like too nervous, but like, I think what made me more nervous were people's expectations, because like we had like a bunch of kids competing and they were all watching. And at the time I was like helping coach. And then like my coach, I would say like the best person at that school. And there was just like a lot of expectations for me to do well. So I think I was more nervous about that and not living up to the expectations, which is probably why I like went super hard for a submission in the second match. And I was just like relentlessly trying to attack a Kimura, even though I like was just constantly giving up points. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that's intense. Yeah, I hadn't thought about it that way. The whole school was like, oh, this is like our best one or one of the best from our gym, like to represent our school, right, or blah, 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 all that pressure. So.
But then I switched schools, and I've never competed under the school that I switched to. But now I would say, like, I am very average or like below average compared to like everyone else that competes at, you know, that other school. So I think maybe if I competed again, it would be less nerve wracking in the sense, well, maybe not because of this YouTube channel, but yeah, there's still probably a lot of expectations, I guess, because of the YouTube channel. But as far as like affiliation goes and just like the same type of pressure, I think it would be less as far as just like direct pressure from like people watching, you know?
Right. Right. You know, one day it'd be cool. It'd be cool if you were in my corner at a competition. That would be cool.
I don't know. It's hard. I really don't like coaching. I'm a very quiet
person. Oh, really?
Every one of these competitions, people are just like yelling at the top of their lungs and like super big, like cheerleaders. And Danaher talks about this too. Like the coaches are like just cheerleaders, or often that's even like making the situation worse because you're like yelling stuff at your like competitor that's almost like freaking your competitor out more. Like you're like, watch for the triangle, watch for the triangle. And they're like right, freaking out. You're like, oh gosh, you're gonna triangle me. So like, yeah. A lot of times it's like just cheerleading, which I don't do.
Yeah.
It's kind of tough, I feel like, for me to be an effective coach in that environment, because it's definitely not who I am naturally.
Right, right. Yeah, I think the thing I'm most nervous about is that adrenaline dump. Like, I don't know if it's inevitable. Like, there's just no way to prepare for that. Or if I should just, I don't know if visualization will help, or just working a lot on the cardio. So, but I don't know. I know, like, maybe warming up will help, because, you know, like when you start going on a run and that first 10 minutes, your lungs are like waking up and it's that very labored breathing. So I definitely want to warm up properly, but man, I don't know. Like, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, we'll see. At least I have 4 matches. So maybe by the last one, I'll just be already so tired, I won't tell the difference between adrenaline dump or just being tired. It just, right. I don't know. We'll see. Yeah.
Yeah. I heard Nicky Rod compare it to like a balloon. And the first time you blow up a balloon, it's very difficult. But then after you blow it up, it's easier. So the warm up is like blowing up the balloon for the first time. And then, yeah, I think you get the analogy. So,
right.
Yeah, I think a good warm up might help. I didn't do that.
Okay. So you didn't warm up. Probably a good idea. You just went in and.
Yeah, because it's weird, because like I was also a coach. So like there were a lot of kids competing, and there were also a lot of other adults competing. So like I was running around like coaching people, and then all of a sudden it was time for me to go to my thing. So
yeah.
But I didn't get like a proper warm up. Like I didn't feel cold, but I didn't feel like I was like, you know, sweating or anything. You know?
Right. 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 Yeah, man. Oh, I'm still can't believe it's in 5 weeks. I'm pretty nervous still, but wow. It's 5 weeks. Yeah. Basically a month out. So yeah, I'll keep the, our millions of fans updated on how the progress is going. I did check out that seed grip arm drag instructional that you recommended.
Leg drag.
Yeah. On Lachlan's, the Submeta course. And it's pretty cool. It made me realize like, wow, there's a ton of ways to pass the guard, and so intricate too. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's very, very dynamic. So it's a lot of, like getting halfway through one move and then switching to another move. And yeah, it's definitely one of the harder things to do in jiu-jitsu for sure. And a lot of time is spent doing it. So
yeah,
it's a good thing to get good at.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been practicing, in my preparation, a lot of escapes, but I think I'm going to start focusing before I go into like those full hard sparring weeks. I think this next couple weeks, I'm going to do a lot of positional where they try to pass my guard and I'm trying to sweep and then pass. Yeah, because I think I'm going to start in guard, and like I already have the worst case scenario. I've spent some time there, like just bottom side control, getting my back taken, bottom mount. And I feel like if I don't practice that sweep enough, like I'm just going to condition myself to like get into bad positions and escape over and over. So I need to practice that. Like, all right, now I escape. How do I off balance? How do I sweep and then pass? So that'll be the next couple of weeks, I think, at the end of class.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, and yeah, I did tell my coach, I told one of the coaches that I'm competing. And he was like, cool. Yeah, just message me on Instagram. And I was like, okay. And actually, I forgot to do it. So I need to send him a message. But it seems pretty casual. So, yeah.
No, I like the game plan. I think that training schedule is really smart to focus on the sweep to pass. Because you definitely don't want to get in the habit of just like, you know, escaping bad positions and then having to do it again and again. Because in tournaments, every time you escape and then they pass, like you're just digging the hole deeper and deeper because they're stacking points and points. So
right.
Yeah, it's tough to recover.
Yeah, but yeah, for those if you haven't heard the episode, we went over my entire training plan. Jake gave me some feedback and some ideas. So that one came out last week. It's episode 30. Yeah, reviewing Josh's training plan, competition training plan. But yeah, any other advice from your own experience from those competitions?
Maybe just I guess one thing to end on, which I guess was kind of said, but not really like directly said, based on like the Kimura example, is like when you're doing a move, try and think of like I for me, I think a big jump in level is like when I was watching / like doing moves back then, I was thinking like the best case scenario was going to happen every time. That makes sense, mm-hmm. which is not going to happen. So yeah, I think just having a, just like hedging your downside, right? So like if the ankle lock doesn't work, what is the outcome, you know, and try and make sure that that outcome isn't them scoring, you know, right. Or if you're, you know, like whatever techniques you're working on, just try to prioritize defense and kind of let the offense fall in your lap kind of thing, mm-hmm. I think would be the better way to go about it, as opposed to just trying to do some cool move that is probably not going to work. And I think you know that, but just kind of for everyone else out there, I think that's kind of a good, I think, strategy for competition, is just minimize downside and capitalize on the opportunities that are there when they're presented, kind of thing.
Yeah. And it reminds me of like when I went on my first bow hunting trip with Nate and Tom, these guys, Nate and Tom, were taking new hunters out. Jake has actually gotten to go out with them the next year. But anyway, they were saying a lot of new hunters, one big mistake they make is they see the deer they're going after and they get so tunnel vision. They don't see that there's like other deer bedded around, and the other deer catch you first, and then the deer you're going after, like the whole herd's gone. So it's just funny how in jiu-jitsu, same thing, like you get so fixated on a move that you're like, I'm gonna do this move, that you don't even see the other possibilities around you or openings.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's like the story of my life hunting here on Lanai. Like you see a deer and it's got like 20 other friends bedded down and you don't see them, and then one little bark and everyone's gone. But like I was house sitting recently and I was house sitting a cat, speaking of hunting. And this cat was just hunting mice. And there was this mouse in the room, like the kitchen, and I like called the cat over and like pointed out the mouse, and the mouse ended up getting away from the cat, and the cat like didn't even seem worried, and just like the mouse like crawled into the dishwasher and the cat just sat there and just like was like super patient and was just like, yeah, I'm just going to wait. I have nowhere to be, kind of thing, you know? And just like hunting, I feel like that's another thing. Like it's kind of boring and you kind of want to like force the action, but like a lot of times, like the advantage the deer has over us is like, we have a schedule. We have to like get there before, you know, the sun sets, or we have to like, for us here on Lanai, when it's like year round and you actually like have to, you know, go to work or whatever, like it could be like, oh, I'm going to go hunt for 2 hours, and you're like setting a time clock, you know? whereas the deer just have like nowhere to be. So yeah, I think just the idea of like patience gives you a huge advantage, right? If you're not trying to like force the action, you're going to be much better off.
Yeah. It reminds me of Hodger's Gracie's and Lex Freeman's podcast where he talks about just being calm, like just relaxing. And it's such good advice. Super random thought. I saw this YouTube video where this guy, he was competing, and his strategy was he would go and he would pull turtle. He would turtle immediately. And then the guy would try to get in on his back, and then he would somehow grab an arm and then like roll and then like go into his offense. But I was like, that is hilarious. I don't know if that's like being patient or a weird new strategy or something, but it was pretty funny.
Yeah. People have weird ways to go about making initial connections. And yeah, sometimes that involves giving your opponent a little advantage so they engage, kind of thing, you know?
Right. Right.
I think that's kind of one of those strategies.
Yeah. Man, I should go look up now of like who signed up in my weight class and see what's up. But yeah, more updates to come. Check out Submeta. Link is in the description for a discount. And also for all of you who've left us 5-star reviews on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, we super appreciate it. We actually got a ton from you, and it's really helpful to help us get the word out as we continue to share this journey of improving in jiu-jitsu. So thank you so much. And if you haven't done it yet, would love a review. So on that note, we'll see you on the next episode.
Later.
See ya.